of Shanti and good morning. So today's topic is so wonderful. Whisper of the time, stability, right? When I heard about this topic and I was thinking, there are varieties of stabilities, right? One is that inner stability. Another is, you know, stability in terms of our profession, in terms of our relationships, on a physical level. So, in one way, you know, like when people say when there is stability, it's boring. I'm not speaking of inner stability, but you know, when there's stability in life, it's boring, right? So how do we deal with that? Do we need stability in life? Or, you know, some upheavals, some ups and downs is necessary in life, or is that what we want in life? Sometimes people are confused.
Interesting, we're talking about this now. I think the drama in its different ways is always going to provide variety. And whether it's with our own body, or whether it's in relationships, or whether it's with situations, there's always going to be variety. But I think the stability is in our response. And I always remind myself that I cannot change the scenes of the drama, but I do have a choice of how I want to respond to that drama. And I think always when I have the feeling that I have a choice, just this one word of knowing that I have a choice helps to create room for stability. Because I think when one feels that there isn't that level of choice, then one is so affected and pulled by whatever is happening around. And I think in my own life, over a period of time, the buffer effect between what's happening and how I feel is I always say to myself, but Dipti, you have a choice. And I think I've seen that with you too, Suman. I've seen how over the years, just watching your journey, realizing that there was many varieties of scenes that have come, but you've made choices. And I think it's those choices that has fed your stability.
You know, I think to have that stability in life, I think we need to hold on to some values or something in our lives so that, you know, we get along that path, you know, undisturbed way. So what do you think are those values or something in life for you which you held on to, which brought stability in your life, either in terms of your life or your choices?
It was interesting, the other day I was talking to someone as well, and just this feeling of this energy of honesty. Honesty has really helped me. And there's so many levels of honesty, because I realized as much as I wanted to be honest, I was also aware of the fears that I've had. And it's interesting that you may not term it as fear, but those levels of fear has stopped you from being purely honest. Because one thing is to not speak lies. That's one level of honesty. But that's still the gross level of honesty. There's more deeper levels of honesty that one can look at. And I think, for me, this level of honesty, I think Babas Murli from that 1969 Murali on honesty, where Baba is saying that an honest soul uses everything in a worthwhile way. And I've felt that over the years, if I have just paid attention to keep that level of honesty, the pure karma of staying honest on that level has always looked after me. I think one doesn't have to think of what it is that's going to look after you, but rather invest in that which will sustain itself. And so for me, the level of honesty, it's just, you know, very quietly, if something comes into Baba's house, how do I use it? If I have to spend time with the soul, how do I make it worthwhile? So many levels, because that is real honesty, that I don't create wastage. When the soul is really honest, it doesn't create wastage. Because it is wastage that creates burden. And that burden creates instability.
As they say, if today we our actions are pure, today if our actions are pure, the future is always powerful. Right? So, if we follow Srimad today, accurately, it might be near accuracy, so we always have the faith that, okay, our future is powerful. So then that stability factor is always there.
Yeah.
Okay. So for you, I think it was honesty.
And for you?
For me, I think it was faith. Faith in the self and faith in Baba. And also the other factor that I usually have, like, you know, pay attention to is, today my karma, whatever karma I'm doing, whatever actions I'm doing, is it beneficial to the self and to the many? So mainly, majority, 90-95%, if my actions are according to the Srimad, you know, so then always there is sense of satisfaction. Okay, I'm sure that my future would be powerful. Future would be bright. No matter what today is, but tomorrow is always powerful.
I think the other day we were talking about that. I think it was you and I, about what is really needed is the level of patience and faith.
Faith, yes.
So you can have patience, but if your patience is not fed with that real energy of faith,
yes,
then that patience is a very unnatural energy.
And to have patience without faith is so, we feel so burdened.
Yeah.
You know, we feel worked out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so difficult. We are forcing ourselves to be patient. We're forcing ourselves and consoling ourselves, okay, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. Everything will, but it's a forced one. It's like, you know, there's a lot of pressure inside at that time. But once when we have faith, this is what Baba is saying, or this is what Baba wants me to do, then I think that patience also, like, it becomes easy to wait for things to happen, for the things to flow.
Yeah. You know, this time, excuse me, this time when Asha Didi was here, she shared that the greatest attachment the soul has is to its own body. Yeah. I've heard it before and I've acknowledged it, but when she said it that day, something hit home, that the greatest attachment I have is to this body. And I mean, we know even when the body feels a little unwell, there's a lot of discomfort. And so this whole aspect of, I think for all of us, and myself when I was just writing a few days ago, just a feeling of, you know, Baba talks about becoming bodiless, to practice the bodiless stage, and really to deepen that aspect, because this body is going to pull if I haven't created the practice enough. And so we can think about all other levels of stability, but the first pull that is there is the pull of our own body. So I was thinking about the kind of things that supports this energy where the soul can feel released from the pull of the body.
That is a basic thing. That's the thing that we need to really practice a lot. And all other things, I think, that will follow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I look back into my life, you know, like from childhood, I've been into Gyan, like we can say, because my parents were in Gyan when I was 5 years old. So I knew what Baba's knowledge is all about, but then gradually the knowledge got deepened in me. So when I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. Even many times, you know, we decide that we want to do something. So, but then later on there are many distractions coming. There are many pulls, and you know, like there are temporary attractions and temporary things that, you know, really want us to, what we want to do. But then at that time, you know, there should be something strong in us to keep us on track. Because in today's world there are so many distractions, many things pulling here and there. But when we have one strong thing which we follow, then that will really put us on the path always, always.
Mm.
Right? So we need to identify that one real strong thing in us, what I really want in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that we need to, I think, when we identify that, everything else would fall in place.
Yeah. Yeah. And really for me, I was thinking just in the last short while about, you know, this body is just energy, right? And it's in its gross energy. And the more and more purer it becomes, the more subtle and subtle and subtle this energy becomes. And how, I think in the last whole week, Baba was talking about this complete purity. So what is this one thing that I want? And for me, it's really to understand if I can find the source of it. And for me, it's this level of understanding my freedom is in my purity. My freedom, my well-being is in my purity. And that purity is deep. It's not a gross purity. It's really a very deep, deep level of purity that the soul needs. And I feel that is the one practice that's going to really help us to release the body and all the pulls that have been coming from there.
For you, it was purity.
Mm.
Yeah, that's very important. As Baba says, that purity is the foundation for peace and happiness. So purity is very important. I think for me, it was always, you know, I used to feel that the need of the time, because we are in conference age, and during the entire cycle, this is the only precious time that Baba is with us.
Yeah.
And this time, this precious moment, I didn't want to let go of. You know, for example, if some, you know, for say, very eminent person is coming to my house, might be a president or a prime minister of a country, he says, okay, I'm coming to your house for just 2 hours. So what do? We cancel all other appointments, we cancel everything else, and we just want to dedicate those 2 hours completely to him, because he is eminent and he is coming to my house. I need to be host, and you know, I want to be there. I don't want to lose that, you know, precious time. I don't want to let go of that. So I cancel all other things and just be there for that person. So when we think on those terms, you know, Baba, the Almighty Authority, is in our lives.
Right now.
And instead of giving attention to Him, is it worth giving attention to everything else? You know, we are with these people during the entire cycle. Anyway, we have to be there. There's no other way. Right? So even now, if I do the same thing, what I have been doing the entire cycle, then what's the thing? Mm-hmm. So this is a precious time that I need to really spend time with God and do whatever He wants me to do. So this thought, I know I really had that thought in my mind always. Whenever any attractions or any distractions that just came by me, I always thought, no, this is the time that I need to give to God and to myself. This is the time I need to spend most of the time with Baba. So this one thought always, you know, put me back onto my path.
Yeah. So I think that's a level of stability within the self, when one is able to really just connect with Baba or value one's own purity and honesty or faith. But then another level that we see coming up a lot now, as we see these days increase in its momentum, is karmic account relationships. And it's a deep one. So, again here I was thinking, what are the kind of things one can do to deepen, make a deep investment in relationships, so that whatever karma, because these are the same souls we've been through the whole cycle, and so on the one side, these are the same souls we create the golden age with, but at the end of the cycle, these are the same souls, whatever karma we have to settle. So, what has helped you over a period of time just to maintain that level of stability in relationships?
For me, I think it's unconditional love. No matter what, at the end of the day, they are my brothers and sisters. You know, the feeling of acceptance, they are my family. You know, like, because when we have blood relations, my own parents or own brothers or sisters, if I had a quarrel with them, if I had a fight with them, I would always go back to them again, because they are my blood relations, right? I go back to my family. So in the same way, do I have the feeling of belongingness to the Brahmin family that I'm with? No matter whatever difference of opinion, whatever sanskaras clash or anything, for that moment, okay, that happens. That happens because each one's sanskar is different. But then later on, then again, I say, okay, she's my sister. He's my brother. That feeling of belongingness and that acceptance has really worked for me.
I think you've shared a very beautiful aspect of feeling a sense of belonging. I think this is sometimes what, especially in the West, souls struggle with. So when they have to deal with certain things, because in certain parts they have not... the culture has been such of deep independence as well. And as a result of it, with the young people that I deal with a lot, they find it very difficult to just feel that I belong. I was just talking to one youth the other day, And you know, through most of her life, she never really experienced the life, the love of her mom and dad. Mm. Because from a very young age, something changed. And now she's come to Baba, and she was just saying to me how she's come here to Madhuban, and she's feeling so much of love, and she's feeling such a deep sense of acceptance. But there's a part of her inside that's struggling, because for most of her life, she had to just grow up and be independent and be strong. And so I think Baba creates the space for us to say, you belong. You know, Daddy has been really just highlighting this, me kon, mera kon, who am I and who is mine. And I think that in itself creates a depth of that stability in relationships, because I can then feel that sense of belonging. And I think a lot of instability or fear or withdrawal as such in relationships come out of this very factor of how much do I feel a sense of belonging. And in feeling a sense of belonging, what are the things that make me feel a sense of belonging? Because it's not only what happens in the yajna, what happens when I come here. It's not just that. It's other factors as well. And am I able to accept that? You know? Because, I mean, I remember the first time when I came to Madhuban, it was really the love of the seniors that gave me life. I just came to Madhuban, and I remember Niveba used to take me to Naki Lake. Niveba and Karunaba used to take me to Naki Lake and tell me about the stars, you know. Now, that was what created a sense of belonging. But I have to find ways right now. That worked at that point, but right now too, there are things that I have to invest in that will create a sense of belonging. Because when I feel that sense of belonging, it will create a stability.
That's true. That's very much true. Because for me also, I think it was family feeling first, and then the understanding of knowledge. That came later. Because now, as a kid, when I used to come to Baba's home, the center, or to Madhuban, it was always the senior's love. You know, the teacher, whoever, the sister would be, she used to feed me with cholis and love, the brothers and sisters around. So I think the first attraction towards Baba was because of the love of the family. And then as I grew older, then I could understand the knowledge on a deeper level. But I think that the feeling of belongingness is much more powerful than anything else. And there was one incident where, you know, there was a brother who's in a very good position in the government, and he came to Baba and he started taking course, and you know, he went deeper and deeper, and he became a beacon and he started to meet Baba. And then after a few years, some incident happened in the yajna which really disturbed him a lot. And many times I think this such type of situations arise in front of us as well. We have questions, okay, even in Baba's yajna, does this happen, you know, or being such a senior, this is how they behave. Some questions or something would arise. And he was really disturbed with the situation there, whatever happened with him. Then when he went up to Baba, when he was having personal meeting in Diamond Hall, Baba gave loving drishti to him. And then he said, develop the feeling of belongingness. This is your family. You know, that was a signal to him. Because when we say, okay, this is my family, so then no matter whatever happens,
there's going to be such variety in the
we
family.
Just accept. Yeah. We just accept. Yeah. Just accept. You know? And this is the beauty of Baba's Yajna here, you know. Many people, you know, in India, they put up a question to us. Don't you think you are escapists? You know, they think that, okay, letting go of all the responsibilities of the family and just dedicating their life to a spiritual cause, you know, they feel that that is escapism. They are escaping from all those things. One such meeting was happening in my hometown along with my college friends. After many years, we were having a reunion of our college classmates. I was there with this dress, and one of the friends, then that mother of my friend, she got up and asked, "Don't you think you are an escapist?" Because she's known me since childhood. Then I said, "What do you mean by that?" Then she said, "Okay, you have left your family and everything. You have left all the responsibilities, logic response, and you have gone there to do tapasya, to meditate." Then I said, "Okay, do you think we don't have any responsibilities, or do you know where I stay? Where do you stay?" You know? I said, "If we were in Laukik, then we would have been amidst only four people. And we would have been like having clashes of sanskars only for amongst three, four people. But now, I'm in a place where 180 people live together, and all with different backgrounds, different economical levels, different language, different sanskars, different culture, because in Gyan Sarovar, permanent residents are 180, and from all over India. And you know, in India, each state has a different culture, different language, and different background. And to stay in such a place, and to have that feeling of belongingness, and to cope up with all the differences, it's not that easy. Right? But one advantage is that Baba is with us.
Yeah.
And there is one common bond amongst all of us is Baba. And we follow one Srimad, one knowledge. And that makes it easy.
Yeah.
You know? And then I told her, this is not escapism. It is like going into a crocodile's mouth, you know. but then we are still surviving. Baba is there.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
I really think the sense of belonging is very important. One of the things we shared with the youth is that when you come to Madhuban, there's a program that you can follow. But also try to meet somebody from Madhuban and get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a beautiful exercise, because otherwise you deprive yourself mm-hmm. of a bigger family. You can be here in this family and yet not taste the beauty of this family. And the youth that were here now, yes, we did it in a safe manner, because it's good to be in the right places at the right time. But we encouraged them to get to know more Madhuban Nivasis and to talk to them, and how we found that kind of sense of belonging, even when for 2 days when they went to go to Yajna Seva, that was their best. That is what they liked the most about the youth retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was shared whilst they were in the Toli department, or, you know, even like the one brother was saying that, "Oh, I don't have milk Toli," but that day when I was in the Toli department and I had to stir that milk, and I realized how much effort it takes, you know? Suddenly things changed.
Yes. They connect with each other.
They connected with each other. He said, "You know, we were making popcorn, and we made so much of popcorn So when you go 4 o'clock tea, you can eat that popcorn. But all of this created a sense of belonging.
Mm.
And so one of the things that I really encourage in order to create a sense of belonging is don't keep yourself separate.
Mm.
Even though you come here, even though it's part of the Madhuban program and there's a program for you, there's somebody somewhere here who's going to give you a deeper sense of belonging to a yogya. So don't just keep to your group and don't just keep to your program, because Madhuban has many things on a deeper level to offer to you as well. And that sense of belonging will always help.
Yes. At the time of our, you know, upheaval, these are the things that we really remember and we get connected back.
Yeah. I think often when when you're here in Madhuban, you feel so safe and you really feel in the womb, God's womb, you know?
Yes.
It's like yesterday when I was in Pandabhavan, just that feeling of how just Baba's vibration was such that it like gives oxygen to the soul. It was such a beautiful feeling. And so just that whole deep feeling that right now we need to create a deep, deep sense of stability with a deeper experience, because when we go back there, the world, we all know, is quite different out there. And I find the experiences that I've deepened in Madhuban is that which carries me for the whole year.
Yes.
And so one of that is really that stability that comes from a deep sense of belonging.
Yes.
And Baba's room.
Mm.
You know, often I find one of the things that helps me a lot, even now, when I really have to make a decision, it's amazing as consciousness you can be beyond time and space. So I would just arrive in Pandabhavan, I'd just go straight to Baba's room and feel how Baba's presence creates a sense of clarity in the decision you have to make. And so we have access to all of this right now.
Yes. Yeah. One is that the feeling of belongingness to the family, and also that deeper feeling of belongingness with Baba. That is very much important. You know, when one of the bhog messages, you know, during foreigner season, Mohini Ben of New York, from New York, she was offering bhog in Harmony Hall one day on Thursday. And there was a beautiful message from Baba. There were many double foreigners, and Baba said, there would be lot of upheavals coming in your life. Sometimes you might feel it difficult to follow Brahmin life. You know, one thing really helps to hold on to this Brahmin life is the deep experience in meditation. Deep experience with Baba. So increase your experience, and that will really save you from many things. So we need to deepen our feeling of belongingness with Baba. That means, I think, not just having an official relationship with Baba, but we need to have personal relationship with Baba. That personal intimacy with Baba. Do I share everything with Baba, my thoughts and everything, being unofficial with Baba? I think that really helps. That really helps. And those are the things that really gives us the strength within to get along.
I was thinking how yesterday just got bitterly cold, and it was just one day that this could happen. But how more and more we're going to see how the elements are going to really become more intense in what they deliver. And one of the things I was thinking very deeply is how at this time one has to really serve the elements through yoga dan, and also physically to not create wastage. You know, whether it's recycling or being eco-friendly or whatever. That is very critically important, but also to really give yogdan to matter itself. Because I feel this level of sudden eruptions in the drama are now very imminent.
Yes.
And if I'm not prepared, then matter will have a hold over me.
That's true. That's very much true. One is that actual calamities, but other thing is that, you know, situations, circumstances, they come all of a sudden. You know, for example, you know, burglar comes into, breaks into your house and brings the Baba's house. You have a very good example of that. I think in South Africa, there are a lot of such incidents happening. Would you like to share one of the incidents of that? How do you maintain that stability when something of that sort happens in your life?
The sisters sometime at the center say I invoke my drama because they don't have all these moments, but they happen in my life. It was so amazing how just recently before I came to Madhuban, it was during the daytime, and it was in the afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon, and we have a courtyard in Baba's home at the back, and how an intruder just came in. He was just desperate, I suppose, to find a few things. But what was the reality of the story was that when I was alerted that there's an intruder, the soul felt very clear. I didn't feel panicked. And that was very helpful to me. So when I felt clear that, okay, there's an intruder here, I was able to use my brain to do the right thing. So I went to go press the panic button. And immediately we had security that came to help. And yes, nothing got missing from Baba's house. Everything got recovered. The person got caught. But two things I have found is that in all these moments, one is important, and it's become something I've been writing about a lot now, as to what are the things I have to keep in place so that there's always clarity of the intellect. Because at the moment of need, you need clarity of the intellect. But if you have unfinished business, you cannot have clarity of the intellect.
Yes.
I remember a very simple thing that that Dadi shared, and it's in her personal dharana. If you ever go into Dadi's room, there's nothing. There's nothing on her bed, nothing on the side of the bed. What you'll ever find near is maybe Toli and Blessing. But there's no unfinished things in her bedroom.
Yeah.
It's a very simple dharana. But she taught me a lot through that. Because the things that are closest to us, if we keep it as unfinished business, at the time of need, those little things that may
will
seem
bother.
Insignificant mm-hmm. will pull you.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the kind of things I'm doing to create clarity of the intellect,
mm-hmm.
you know? Let me keep my relationships clean so mm-hmm. they don't pull me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me keep my finances in order
mm-hmm.
so they don't pull me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these kind of things, finance, relationships, all those kind of unfinished things, let me get them in order.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment of need, otherwise they pull on the intellect.
That's true.
It's not the big things that will pull us. It's the little things that pull mm. us mm. at the end.
Mm. In this situation, and you know, at least you were told that, okay, there's an intruder. Sometimes, you know, in life it happens that you are put on a gunpoint.
Yeah.
Tuck. So that's even more dangerous. You can just leave the body at that time. Right? And that is really, you know. So how, I think you were put in such a situation once in your life. How did you maintain your stability at that time?
That was a long time ago, but I remember that.
Sure.
I remember it was also in the afternoon. Shame, I don't want to deter anyone from visiting South Africa. But it was very interesting how the whole aspect of how Baba helps the soul so much. I remember at that time I was still a school teacher and I came back in the afternoon from school and the center was on the first floor, so I was opening the door. And as I was opening the door, I just felt a knife at my neck. And I realized, okay. But it was very interesting how Baba touches, my heart just said Baba, because I could sense what was happening. And it's the strangest thing that happened. I looked at the brother straight in his face, and I said to him, "Hello, brother." Now, if somebody's got a knife at your neck, you're not going to look at them and say, "Hello, brother." But it was like something touched me, you know? And I puzzled him because I said, "Hello, brother." And as he looked at me, and then he kind of put the knife down, and then very slowly I walked down the stairs. And when I walked down the stairs, when I was down, I ran for my life, which is not a very normal sight that you see. But it was like the soul got touch to say something or do something.
Yeah.
Because natural inclination is when you are put in that space is to either create the same frequency that the soul could resonate with. But suddenly if you look at somebody who's got a knife at your neck and you say, "Hello, brother, can I help you?" It's like Baba touches the intellect. It may seem to be the strangest thing to say.
Yeah.
But I was remembering Jagdish Pai. Remember when he was held by muggers and then he said, "I'll teach you an Indian dance or something like that." But that's it. It's like, again, and I mean, I didn't get harmed. Not at all.
But that presence of mind and stability is very much important at that
because
time.
That creates a moment of creativity.
Yes.
You start becoming creative as to how to get out of this quickly. You know? But also, I think one of the things in my life that has helped me a lot to stay stable is I'm a child.
Mm.
I really am a child. I know when I need to do what I have to do, but other than that, I'm a child. And this, even in situations like that, when you're too clever in your head, you get yourself into trouble.
Yes.
But when you stay innocent, not naive, but innocent, and you hold Baba's hand very innocently, with a pure heartedness, as a child, Baba will always find the way.
Yes.
To take care of you. Always.
Always being with Baba would help.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, and many times I think if we push something to happen, then also that would create a lot of havoc. I remember one incident with you. We both of us were traveling in the train in India. And, you know, we just climbed the train. And there was a lot of people in that compartment. And they had a lot of luggage with them. And they were quarreling among themselves to have space for their luggages. And now we come in and we didn't have any space to put our luggage in. And, you know, then I was behind you. Dipti then just climbed and I was behind her, and then she turned towards me and then she said, "Okay, let them settle down first and then we will go in. Then they, those people noticed that we two sisters with white dress, white sari came in, and we just sat there peacefully putting our luggage in the doorway, in the thing itself, in the way, and we just sat there peacefully. And then we said, okay, if you settle down and then let's give us some space to put our luggage in. And they were so lovely people. They cooperated with us, and they gave a lot of space for us, for our luggage to put in. That, you know, that scene is still with me, because, you know, even if we would have gone in there and we started to quarrel among them, oh no, we want more space, we want, where's the space for us and things like that, then I think they wouldn't have cooperated with us. That's that, just that stability, that love of, towards those people, then that was, after that it was fine.
It's
fine.
Quite an experience traveling by train in India.
Yes.
But I loved it. But that just brings up that whole aspect of, excuse me, no matter what the scene is, maintain your dignity.
Yes.
Never compromise your dignity. And when you hold your dignity, the right energies will start flowing.
Yes.
But as soon as we compromise our dignity, you know, one of the things that have helped me even over the years living in the center is I always remind myself, relationships first, task secondary.
Yes. This is what Mama also used to say.
Relationships first, task secondary. Just hold the dignity in the relationship and the sincere cooperation that will come.
Yes.
As a result of that. You know?
Mm. Yeah,
this was a nice conversation, but I'm sure we can open it up.
If you want to ask anything or you want to share something.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah. Then it will become even richer conversation. It's been wonderful. It'll become even richer. Anyone? You can also say in Russian or Thai or whatever language. Doesn't have to be in English. Yes.
Om Shanti. Quietness makes me react. I was thinking about my own experience of having a gun pointed at me, and this was in Israel, and what came to me was there was this guard in the dark saying I had to stop, and he was pointing a gun at us, and I realized that life became very important. It's like life and death becomes almost one. This was before Baba, but this was my experience. So.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
What was your state of mind at that time?
Well, my state of mind is being very loveful, because I was out in the fields in the very dark near Mount Abu, where the Ten Commandments of the Christianity came down the mountain. You know, having this very romantic scene in the dark fields under the stars, coming to the kibbutz, and all of a sudden I got confronted with this. And that makes me that life and death makes me realize that life and death is one.
That's very deep. It's true.
Yeah.
And yet how we separate these experiences so much. But in that moment, when your life is on hold, how that moment eternally becomes one.
Yeah. It's a good experience. Thank you.
Good.
Anyone else like to offer something or a question? Yes? No? let's see if I can ask something. Now we're facing, you know, lots and lots of scenes. And just if we take up the one of perhaps natural calamities. And you know, recently Baba was saying in a Sakam Murli, I think it was an Abhiyak Murli, you know, your first responsibility is to your stage. And then everything else after that. We had recently flooding in Saigon where it was biggest for 60 years and the motorbikes were literally floating, you know. And so people were asking, you know, what's our first responsibility, what to do at that time. So it'd just be lovely to hear from you, you know, if there is something that happens very sudden, like an earthquake or a very sudden event that's happening, what is your practice? What would you think your practice would be or your suggestion for us at that time?
I often ask myself, I'm not sure how stable I will be, but one of the things I am aware of is how I call my Baba. It's like amazing, just this real energy of my Baba. And I felt in this Murli that Baba was saying, just who's in your heart? My Baba. I really felt that this is the moment that is really going to, it's like you invoke Baba fully during that time. And that is going to save us, because you can plan in many other ways, but when these moments come suddenly, if I think in retrospect to any time when I was in a so-called crisis, it was just when the heart just went with absolute sincerity, Baba. And it's like something took care of it. And I really feel that at the end, we may not know how to deal with certain things, but if that's why Baba is saying, keep your intellect so clear that you can call out to me. I've also found that sometimes if the soul lives its life in a certain way, even though these scenes happen, you stay protected. It's like I found at times something just happened and then I've arrived. Or I've just left from somewhere and something happened. It's like you are protected. And to have this deep, deep faith that we are protected. It sounds from my heart. But it's
yeah, that's the main thing is, you know, that clear connection with Baba. And then we should be able to understand Baba's signals at that time. This is what happened years ago, you know, like there was an incident in Bhopal, in Madhya Pradesh, in India. There was a breakout of poisonous gas of a factory in the morning, at night when everyone was sleeping, and there was a breakout of this poisonous gas. And when everyone came to know about this, you know, many people panicked and they left their homes and they started to go out. They were even more exposed to that poisonous gas. And there were two sisters at the nearby center where that poisonous gas broke out. And they went to Baba's room and they asked Baba, you know, in meditation, Baba, what are we supposed to do? And they got clear signal from Baba don't worry, close all the doors and windows and just lie down and drink lots of water. This is what the signal they got from Baba. And they did that. You know, they were just, you know, nearby that factory. And they closed all the doors and windows. They lie down and just drink blanket over, and they drank lots of water. And when everything subsided and everything was over, and the people who did like this, they survived. You know, and this is what Baba told. And no one knew that we were supposed to do like that. This was Baba's signal. And the latest incident that happened near Gansarovar, you know, what one of our Gansarovar Nivasi, it's really amazing. You know, usually we ask brothers and sisters who come here not to go out for a walk in the dark outside Gansarovar. But one of our brothers was jogging outside in the morning, 6 o'clock. He was jogging just here near the carpentry, and all of a sudden, three bears, they come and they attack him from behind. And you know, he tried to save himself when three bears are on you, and you know, it's very difficult to save those three bears are huge. And he tried to do something with them, but you know, he was so weak in front of the three bears, and he just left his hand and started to say, "Baba, Baba, Baba." And it's magic how all the three bears, they left and went away. And that brother survived. Of course, he has some injuries on the body, but he survived. Otherwise, just imagine three bears attacking a person. Will they leave him alive? You know, they'll eat him, all the whole of the body. But it's like, you know, it's just the presence of mind and connecting with Baba at that crucial time is very much important, I think.
Another, and also recently someone was killed by a bear, no, in Mount Abu. Someone,
yeah,
else.
But not a BK.
No, not a BK. But you know, I mean, that possibility is
that
there.
That possibility is there. Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Can I just ask one last thing? It came up in the last group, but this group wasn't here. It's about another aspect that can challenge our stability. In terms of, you know, now we have over 7 billion something souls in the world, and so much suffering and settling, and then we have all the animals, billions, that often live lives with a lot of suffering, the way that they live their life, and then of course the way they're killed. So it's affecting a lot the atmosphere and creating, sometimes though not visibly, a heaviness. And that can also be something that can challenge our stability of mind and stage. And I just wonder, you know, you've shared about building faith and a sense of belonging. You've shared about different aspects that can support us, honesty. What things do you feel that can help us be aware and above the atmosphere? You also mentioned bodilessness, perhaps that's something to highlight. So that we are aware of, you know, the story, and don't become those that are influenced by the atmosphere, but really are able to create it. Should we be practicing bringing the subtle region down, or what kind of things to be free from that influence?
Yeah, that's also there. And one more thing that I usually practice for the past few years now is, you know, I want to prepare myself for the time of destruction. As a young kid, I was not able to see blood. And if somebody was getting injected, I was not able to see that also. I'm not getting injected, but somebody, if the doctor is injecting you, I was not able to see that. You know, I was so sensitive to all these things. No, I made myself stronger by practicing bodiless stage and also experiencing that powerful stage of Master Almighty Authority. And few days ago, you know, we were just traveling to some nearby place, and there was an accident. Just few minutes ago, there was an accident, and the person was still lying on the road with all the blood over, like, you know, and we were, our car was crossing by. And all the other members who were inside the car, we all came to know there's an accident. And all of them just turned their faces otherwise. They didn't want to see the person with blood. And I was so curious, and I'm looking at that person, you know. So I was giving that vibration of peace and, you know, of love. Might be we were not able to do something physically, but at least those vibrations is very much important. And I think if we are in that stage, I think we can help others to come out of the situation. But if we are not strong enough, I think then we won't be able to help others. And this is our responsibility to help others at the time of crisis. So I think bodiless stage and also experiencing the stage of Master Almighty Authority is very much important, and then we can help the people in need. And also Baba says, have mercy for others, because we are ancestor souls, and if we don't have mercy, and if we can't do, or we can't give, then who else can give? So we are the ones who have to give. So we have to make ourselves strong and stable to give them that support. Yeah.
I think for me, Baba also signaled in the last Murli that he was saying, no matter what happens, stay in super sensuous joy. And it really was bringing this home. And just that deep feeling that, I mean, in the way that I understand it, is keep your frequency high. No matter what happens, keep your frequency high. Because if you keep your frequency high, you're not going to absorb what is happening. It's like a plane. When it keeps to its altitude, it doesn't absorb the atmospheric turbulence down below. But soon as it comes down, it's affected by the atmospheric turbulence. And so, really the feeling, and as I was doing my homework now, before I have to go back, just that feeling of Baba really giving the soul the signal that it's time to keep that frequency high. And that really means, excuse me, that really means to really take at this time from Baba and to take from the support of my own stage that I've created and the pure karma that I've invested in, and not to absorb the drama. The drama is going to be there, and it's not that I'm numb to the drama, but I can't afford to absorb this drama.
At least the provider of positive vibrations. Yeah.
Because, if I look at 2016, I've had to be at many different places where I saw so much of sorrow. It really touched me, the level of pain people go through. But every time I came back to the center and went to Baba's room and looked at Baba, there was just this feeling that you are the child of the benevolent one. So you have to be here. It's not that you must run away from all of this. You know, aap kalyankari baap ke bachche ho. This was the feeling I had, that you are the child of the benevolent one. Your part is of benevolence. So that's the high frequency, that no matter what happens, your part is one of benevolence. Your duty is benevolence. And so, when I understand that my duty, my part is really of benevolence, then I can keep my frequency high. Because otherwise the pain and the sorrow out there is very intense. Very intense. And you can't be separate from it, but you have to be careful you don't fully absorb it.